You know, the Bible doesn't address exactly who you should marry, but it does address what kind of person you should marry. Men, of course, marry women. Women, of course, marry men. No, you know, no playing around with that. But it doesn't tell me, marry Lydia. That's my wife's name. Married her back in 2004, and it's now 2020. Just been amazing. And I want to brag on my wife. For one purpose. I don't know if you're married or not. If you're not, then I want to talk about the kind of wife you ought to be looking for, sir. And by extension, the kind of husband you ought to be looking for, ma'am. I want to talk to you about that. I want to brag on my wife. If you are married already, then by talking about my wife, I don't want to cast aspersions on anybody else's, because I really do have a trophy wife. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have a trophy husband, if you're listening to this, and you're a believer. I have to be careful with a wife like mine not to talk about her too much. Frankly, because when I have a man in my office who's having difficulty in his marriage, I can A, make his wife look less cool in his eyes, or B, make it seem like his problems really just come from his wife and not from himself. Two things I really need to be careful not to do. However, I love to talk about my wife. First of all, my wife is a Christian. She would have had nothing to do with me if I wasn't when we met. Now, even though when we met all those years ago, 17 years now, we were very clueless as far as biblical theology goes, was in a word of faith cult, really, and basically had no clue about much, and neither did she. God very graciously, in his many ways, took us both out of these cultic, word faith, charismatically insane zoos that we were in, and put our feet on a more firm foundation. We are Reformed Baptists by profession. You know, we came up in this together. She's a believer, though, and has been genuine about that since before I met her. And like me, a few years before I met her, some changes went on in my life toward Christ. And that was all God at work, allowing us to meet and be together. My wife is the kind of woman every man should be looking for. And when I say looking for, I personally don't mind full intentionality in it. And some people would say, you know, just kind of live your life and he or she will come along at the right time. And that's always, of course, true. But I don't mind somebody trying to be proactive about finding a spouse either. Now, to somebody who maybe has been trying that for too long and it's not working, I might give the former advice, you know, just sort of don't worry about it. It'll happen when it happens kind of thing. Keep your eyes open, you know, keep your heart open, but just, you know, don't maybe pursue it. But to another person who is praying about being married and feels they're ready, I might, you know, be just fine with them advising them, go on a dating site. Go on and put in, you know, what's most important to you and find that significant other. I think that's fine. I think it's, in fact, an advantage of technology. And personally know several people who met online and have been married for decades a decade or more, some more than that. So it all depends on whether God is in it and whether you're doing the right things as a husband or a wife. But you should look for a believer. Scripture is clear, you should not look for an unbeliever. If you are not married and you are considering and praying about being married, the first characteristic you should look for is that this person is a believer. And when I say look for, it might not be the first one you see. I do ask young unmarried peoples when they're, you know, inquiring about, hey, should I marry this person? I met this person I'm thinking about marrying. If they're in that initial phase, I would ask, are you attracted to them? And if the answer is yes, and if they're a believer, not in that order, literally, I would say that's the person for you. Marry him when you're ready. You know, I'm not saying this weekend. If you met him on Monday, might not want to marry him on Friday. I don't think that'd be wise. You know, this isn't Frozen, you know, and you sing a song and suddenly you're ready to get married. That's not cool. There's not wisdom there. It might happen, but, you know, all in all things equal, no, we want to give it time. Do it God's way. No sex before marriage, and God will bless your marriage. I'm a living witness to this, of what He will do when you do it God's way. He will bless you in every way in marriage. So you need to be looking for a believer. And if you're attracted to that person, of course, that's probably going to be the first thing you learn about them. Even if you see them in church, right? And if you find that person that is therefore qualified, you're a woman, you find that man, you're a man, you find that woman, they're not otherwise already married, and they're a believer, and you could see yourself being with them physically for the rest of your life, you're attracted to them, that's the one for you. Marry him. You don't have to wonder. You don't even have to, play this in the dark. You can be sure that's the one for you. This is how God has set it up. You read the scripture about what kind of spouse you ought to find, and then you pray about that. So number one is having a knowledge base in the faith of what God's word says, so we can be led by the Holy Spirit in this. Learning in scripture, okay, I want a woman who is faithful, who is virtuous. I'm speaking obviously from the male perspective. I want a woman who loves Jesus, who is virtuous, who is diligent, who's a worshiper, who is devoted, who's not a drunk, who's etc. It's, you know, not maybe terrible with money, you know, or all these things come into play down the line in their proper order. And you look for this person. So you look at scripture to get you these areas. You pray about them in your life. God, give me wisdom to recognize myself. Always begin there. And him or her, right? Depending on your gender. There's only two of them, so it's kind of easy. And you look for that individual based on these criteria, being led by the Holy Spirit. And the third thing you have to do, as in anything, to be certain that you have the will of God being worked out in your life, is perhaps, and this is a great advice, seek godly counsel. A pastor, an elder, somebody older than you that can speak into your life as a learned Christian about this individual. And you sort of check what you're thinking according to it. Those three things. Read the Bible. It's not going to tell you who to marry. It's going to tell you what kind of person to marry, and not just regarding their sex, but regarding their character, their heart, their spirit, who you should marry. It's going to give you those criteria through which to look at prospective partners, and you go from there. So you look at the scripture. You pray for the wisdom of scripture to be known to you and you to be ready. And you're always praying to have yourself ready for him or her. And therefore, you being able to recognize him or her, praying that God would make them ready for you, I think is a great thing. I give to couples a resource from desiringgod.org. It's a marriage questionnaire. It's a whole bunch of great questions about little things like, are we going to have a joint bank account? Who's going to take out the trash? Who's going to get the groceries? Are we going to split that? Are we going to do this? How are we going to raise our kids? What kind of denomination? Do we believe in this? Do we have this in common? Great questions to go through as early as possible. And it's fun. And you learn about the person you're thinking of marrying. And if you're doing it God's way, guys, no sex. Save it. Do not ruin it. You will ruin your marriage if you have sex before you're married. God won't bless it. If you have done that, repent. Stop doing it and give some time in all that I'm saying, and then get married. Okay? But you don't just make it right by getting married tomorrow. You need to give it time. You need to repent. You destroyed this person before God, the Bible says. Who does that? Okay. You do it God's way and he'll bless you. So you look at the scripture, you pray about it, and you seek after godly counsel. That elder, that pastor, preferably, in your church, I'm thinking about marrying this individual. Should I? They should be asking you these same questions. Are they a believer? Right? And preferably they'd know them and they'd be in the same church. That'd be great. Yeah, you want to marry Josh? Oh, that's fantastic. That's Megan, that's great. You know, you had that conversation. you know, maybe give you some guidelines. Hey, don't spend too much time alone. You can't hang and sleep over at each other's home. You can't take fire in your bosom and not get burned. So be wise about it. Let's set a date. Let's look at this. Let's do some counseling. Here's a book. Here's a passage of scripture to read together, etc. Are you ready for this? Have you thought through this? Kids, you know, how many kids? Any, whatever. All that fun stuff about being, this is fun. And we go through these things for joy in our lives, not for constraints, not for restrictions, but to allow marriage to be blessed and flourishing and wonderful, not just this weekend. Here I am married 16 years to a woman who is a trophy. You should have what I have. That's not being braggadocious. Shouldn't every husband be able to say that? If they're in Christ, shouldn't every wife? You should. We all should. So I'm not trying to say anything unlawful here. I have a trophy wife. And I want you to have that, sir. And if you're a lady listening to this, I want you to have that, ma'am, in your husband. I want that for you. That's what this is about. It's about joy and strength and stability and blessing. Oh, there's nothing more important than your spouse. That's your closest neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you may be called to singleness. God bless you. Okay, use it. But if you're getting married, these things are for you. And this is about joy. You know the scripture, you pray about it, you seek godly counsel to do the same, to pray together, to look at scripture together, give it some time, be wise, be restraining what you need to be restraining. We've talked about that. And then marry that person. They're the one for you. There ain't no such thing that you're supposed to figure out as a soulmate. Now, God knew from before the foundation of the world who that was going to be. You don't, nor does he promise to tell you. So this whole idea of some way gauge how in our feelings, senses, that this is the one for us, I think is more Hollywood. And of course, Hollywood is controlled by Satan. We don't want to get our views on marriage from some, you know, secular Hollywood liberal nut. You want to get it from God. So none of this idea of you have to figure out who the one is and you're supposed to be able to kind of gauge that when you look into their eyes. Or something. No, that's stupid. And that leads to the divorce rate we've got today. But God's way is far better. What kind of person should I marry? And once I find that person, then there are things you'll do as a couple that will allow that marriage to flourish. Keeping Christ first, having a theology on your marriage, seeing it as a wider than just between you two thing. This is a post, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, that you're put on to the planet to show how God loves his church. Get a theology on that. Put that before you in your marriage. It'll lead you to repent and be long-suffering and you'll learn open communication necessities, the importance of learning about your spouse, you know, what pleases them, what displeases them. You'll learn love languages maybe. My favorite book on marriage is This Momentary Marriage by John Piper. This Momentary Marriage. Get it if you've not read it. Married, single, whatever, get it and read it and let the theology of marriage wash over your views of marriage. Let it frame your views on marriage and do it. Now, I have a woman that is a Christian that works extremely hard. She even started cutting my hair in this ridiculous COVID-19 system that we're currently living in. So now she's not only my chef for the whole family, we have four kids and allergies galore, and the work she has to do regarding them is, I can't even remember all their allergies. Well, she's got it all down. Our oldest is almost 13, and we have a five-year-old as the youngest. So just let that picture sit in your mind. I got a woman that is not only the chef for her family, but an interim doctor, school teacher now doing the homeschooling thing. She's cutting my hair. She's my confidant. She's my feedback, critique. I could go on and on and on. She's all these things to me. She teaches women and children wherever we go, because women aren't allowed to pastor men. Scripture's clear on that. But she pastors with women, even if we don't even call it pastoral work. But she teaches, she preaches with the kids and all this blessing that she does wherever we go. Nobody cares about me. I literally could disappear tomorrow and people wouldn't notice for 6 months. But if my wife was gone, within the week, everybody'd know. So I married a woman who is a believer, who is that Proverbs 31 woman. It's a very famous passage for a reason. Proverbs 31 talks about this kind of woman you ought to marry, sir. And you could take much of this, ma'am, right back to a gentleman of character and personality, much of it. you know, in Proverbs 31. And that Proverbs 31 picture isn't just a snapshot of any individual woman in a weekday. It's over the scope of her life. She'll be all of these things in her life. And you, sir, if you marry that kind of woman, well, if I could use a natural analogy for a moment, just imagine investing into a retirement annuity, some sort of retirement account, and imagine it paying off 200 times more than you ever imagined. A woman, sir, is a return investment you can't invest enough in. And vice versa, ma'am. A man is an investment you can't invest enough in. They will pay dividends all your life. Beauty fades, the passions, well, I'll talk about that maybe in a second. But all of that is fleeting. There's again, you want to be attracted to somebody, sure, and be able to do that. It's important. Sex is designed by God. All of its pleasures are designed by our Creator. They're not designed by the devil. He just perverts them. God says you use these as directed, and wow, are you going to enjoy them. You ever read the Song of Solomon? Yeah, it's not an allegory between Christ and his church. Yeah, you could use some pictures there. That is a love manifesto. That is talking about love. In my theology, in my opinion, that is very clearly about marital union, which is the first relationship God ever made, a man and a woman. And so it's pretty reasonable to think we have a book like that to show us its passions in poetic language. Wow. So you marry this kind of man or woman, and they will pay off in your life. You want that. You got to marry the right kind of person. The only way you're going to know is by scripture, prayer, godly counsel. Make a decision you can't miss. 100% of the time, you're in the will of God. You married the right person. You do it according to those three things: knowing what kind of person, by scripture, praying about it in your own life, having that, therefore you're led by the Holy Spirit in that, and then seek godly counsel about an individual before you marry them, right? As you consider it, you can't miss. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. As sure as Jesus rose from the dead, I guarantee it, you can't miss if you do it. If you're in Christ, these things are for you. So that's sort of the standard assumption here. If you are in Jesus Christ, you've repented, put your faith and trust in him, you've been born again, you're walking, you're a disciple, following Jesus, these things, I guarantee you cannot miss. You cannot marry the wrong person, period. I love that. Because we have a sovereign God. We have a God who's in control. And so you don't miss when you do it his way. Okay, so that's an assurance for you, I hope. The intimacy between my wife and I, after these many years of being married, is 1,000 times stronger than it was when we were first, that first night when we were Mr. and Mrs. Potano, and we entered into that thing only married couples get to do, sex. Okay, sorry if there's little ears listening. I will keep it PG. The beauty of that, the intimacy, the strength of that is like a fine wine. Over the time, it becomes stronger and better when you do it God's way. I am living proof of that. My wife, talk to her if you know her. And if you send her a private message, dude, I'm going to punch you in the face. So don't do that. But if you know my wife, ask her. Hopefully she'll say the same thing. She did download an article, How to Remain Attracted to My Aging Spouse, though, a few months ago, and that kind of troubled me, but it's legit. you know, it's stronger. It's better. It is more fulfilling. It is more intimate. It is what some in the psychiatric, psychological marriage counseling world call synchrony sex, or synchricity, or synchronicity sex. We know each other, and it is better, and it is amazing, and the marriage bed is undefiled. I think that's my favorite thing about it. I can enjoy my wife without any crisis of conscience. God blesses it, even. Everything that God has designed about intimacy, I get to enjoy with my beautiful bride. And that is part of a picture that the pleasures of it, the joys of it, that will be swallowed up when I see Christ for the first time. That'll be overridden. This momentary marriage, this transient thing that seems, according to Scripture, will end when I shuffle from this mortal coil. She and I, we will not be husband and wife. This is a picture that God has designed of life and of propagation and beauty and intimacy that is a picture of what awaits the Christian in the life to come. So it's wonderful. I want it for everybody listening. I know it is the best thing. Next to singleness, marriage is the best thing God can give you. And since most of us are looking for that individual, I pray that this short reflection helps you to consider how you're going to get there. Okay? Be smart. I promise. Don't be like the kids who ruin Christmas by going and opening the presents the nights before. I know it's exciting, him or her. I know he or she is exciting for you. And I want you to be excited about them. I really do. But don't ruin it. Wait on God. That's what wise people do. They do it God's way, and they wait on Him because they know the faithful God who's promised. And I want that for you, listener. I want you to be happy. There's other things on Biblicia.com from me on marriage. If you just keyword search foundations for marriage or how to grow as in marriage, just keyword search marriage, and you should find several audio messages. I don't do a lot on it. As a military chaplain, I do the couples stuff as the Army asks me to, but it's not what I enjoy so much. I do it, and I look forward to doing it in churches more and more as the years go on. Really, there, in the environment in which they ask me to do it, I don't really enjoy it very much. But I enjoy doing it with Christians immensely. Go and find some stuff there, and maybe it'll bless you somewhere where you are in this. I don't know, single, married, you know, divorced maybe. Hopefully that was legitimate and everything else. We can talk about that some other time. I have talked about divorce previously on messages and in sermons before. But anyway, I want this to bless you. And I pray that it does help equip you for this beautiful, wonderful question of who and how marriage can work for you. I'm sitting right now, I just parked, I gotta go back into work, but where I'm sitting right now, of course you can't see it, this is audio, I am looking at a very large gun. It's called an M777 howitzer. Very large weapon. It's just a big gun on wheels, gets towed behind a very big truck. It's probably 20 feet long. Very powerful gun. And somebody designed that thing. I'm looking at soldiers right now, moving around on one, adjusting its angle and playing with its gears and all of its stuff that's on there. Somebody designed that thing. And whoever designed it knows very well how to operate it at optimal performance. All right, they had to. The engineers that designed it wrote it down and delivered it. And you don't know better than them. Now, all engineers are imperfect. They're just human beings, and maybe they get upgrade suggestions and they integrate those into future designs on a weapon system. That's how everything imperfect grows. God, who is perfect, is not growing in His understanding. And He, the designer of marriage, has given you as close as you're going to get to a manual on how to operate it. It's called the Bible. 66 letters, and every part that they do speak to this issue of marriage. It is your as close as you're going to get to an operator's manual. And I want to tell you, if you study that manual and if you operate it according to the dictates set forth for you by the one who designed marriage, it'll operate. It'll be like a fine wine. It doesn't mean it's perfect every day and the music's playing every day. No, I've slept on the couch many times in my marriage. I don't think my wife ever kicked me out. I would just know it's time to separate. And instead of getting any more angry at each other, you know, we try not to go to bed angry, but believe me, we have. It ain't perfect. You're going to step in cow crap, like John Piper says. After you get married and you think it's all green fields and beautiful sunny days and you go running holding hands early in a marriage and pretty soon, you're going to step in it. Question is, do you stop and cry and say, oh, this isn't what I planned for? Or do you clean each other off and keep going? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I hope you learn to do the latter. And if you're doing it God's way, that's exactly what should happen. And I want that for you. That's why I'd say anything that I'm saying to you today. So keyword search marriage. Highly recommend the book, This Momentary Marriage by John Piper, or a wonderful book by Alistair Begg called Lasting Love, two books that I really enjoy. There's a lot available online from great preachers, Vody Balcom on marriage. If you're looking for more of a sort of a winsome general approach to relationships, maybe not so much biblically soaked, but certainly coming from a biblical worldview, you can check out the five love languages. I do believe that that curriculum is very helpful. And so if you've not read the five love languages or seen any videos, Dr. Gary Chapman, again, Dr. Alistair Begg or Dr. John Piper, these are all guys I'm referencing here, or Bodhi Bauckham. I think Bodhi's a doctor. Whatever, whether they have the title or not. These are great resources. The five love languages can work. It's really good to get to know how you maybe communicate love, learn that about you, the language you speak, then learn if you're speaking the right language to your spouse. It's a great book. It's a great resource. The little questionnaires. It's not a big book. Highly recommended. I use it in my marriage training. The five love languages. There's one for kids too. The five love languages of children. That's been helpful to a lot of people. Another book I'll recommend that is not coming from necessarily a biblical perspective, but it can help in relationships and that sort of emotional consideration base, which can be helpful. All wisdom is God's, right? Amen. There's a book called Created for Connection, Dr. Sue Johnson. She wrote this book. It's an upgrade of something called Hold Me Tight. Hold Me Tight is really sort of a secular, clinical-based kind of approach. Created for Connection, got together with a guy. I have no idea who he is. Kenneth Sandifer, I think is his name. And he, again, no idea who he is in ministry. Can't endorse him entirely. But all he did was go through the book and add some Bible verses and sort of talk about what she's writing about in the book and how there may be a biblical light we can cast on this. And so there's this Created for Connection is this upgrade of Hold Me Tight. It's a good curriculum. I do believe that it's helpful to a lot of people. Seven conversations to grow in your marriage and get to know each other in intimacy. If you want to check that out, I recommended This Momentary Marriage from John Piper, Lasting Love from Alistair Begg, Resources from Bodhi Bauckham, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, or The Five Love Languages for Children by the same, or Created for Connection by Sue Johnson. And again, Kenneth Sandifer went through and put some Bible verses on there. These are all great resources for marriage. The link to Desiring God and the questionnaire you can find if you Google just Desiring God marriage questionnaire. I'm sure you'll find it. It's a lot of great questions. If you're a pastor or leader looking for something to share with a younger couple or with a couple before they're married to help them think through what they're about to do and approach it honorably, it's a great resource and people have fun doing it. So I highly recommend that to just a great series of questions to talk about and before you get married. It's great. And it can be at any point in a marriage, but ideally it's for people before they say I do. So thank you for listening to this. I really hope that your marriage is like fine wine in your life. And if you're in Christ and if you're doing it His way, that's exactly what it should be. If that's not happening, God's not failing. You are. God's word is never going to fail. But we do all the time. Even if we think we're doing it His way, if it's not working, and I'm not saying measure this over the last 6 hours of your life, I'm saying in the last few years, if you've been married that long or whatever, some period of time, you are the ones failing. And it's a 50-50 thing between a husband and a wife. When Christ is at the head, both need to be individually seeking Jesus to find Him together and then in Him together be growing. It's a wonderful reality of marriage. The triune God at the head of our marriages, He blesses it. And as is said in This Momentary Marriage, probably my favorite statement on marriage from the book, it is not your love that sustains your marriage. It is your marriage that sustains your love. That's what I want for you. A theology on marriage that leads to a practice of marriage with anything else integrated that might assist. For joy and everything that God designed marriage to be. I pray that for you in Jesus' name. So thanks for listening. God bless.